at the right time, at the best time he came. To the great and to the lowly he came. To the wicked, to the holy he came. That we might know the Father, that heaven we might gain, at the right time, at the best time he came. At the right time, at the best time he came.
Thank you, Charlotte. And at the right time, he did come.
Amen.
Not too soon, not too late, just at the right time. And that's the way he works in our life, too, isn't it? God's never early, God's never late, God's always on time. Come on, let's stand up and sing another Christmas ditty. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Go ahead. Joy to sing, oh come all ye faithful. We're going to do it this way. It's a happy song. somebody, tell them you're glad to see them. You can be seated. You guys got to stop being so friendly. Sit down.
This is a beautiful song, and Lori's beautiful voice makes it even prettier. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Amen, that's right.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Merry Christmas, you guys. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You know? This is probably the quintessential Christmas song. Let's just all stand up and sing this in a spirit of reverence and worship. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Round yon virgin mother. heart so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, thy divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
Us to love one another, his law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is his brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, when all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever.
Well, I hope that you are ready for Christmas. If you weren't before you came today, you should be by now. God has blessed our church so with so much We've got so many gifted people here that God has blessed with musical abilities that they have dedicated to Christ. You know, there's a lot of talent out there. You know, you turn on the TV at almost any given time and there's some new talent show on. And, you know, there's a lot of amazing talent in the world and people who have been gifted with lots of abilities. But when you boil it all down, God was the one that invented it all. God is the one that has blessed us with it. And he did it for us to use for his glory. And there's no greater testimony than when people have been given a gift by God that they use it to return to him, to bless others by blessing him, by using the gifts that he's given us. And it's not always musical talent. It can be lots of things. You know, the Bible says that we're all empowered, that we are given gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us as a means of reaching this lost world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. God's given us so much. We have so many joys, so many pleasures. There's so much stuff in the world that we can find pleasure in. But he gave it to us to glorify himself and to use as a tool in reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thank God for the people in our church that have used their gifts and their talents to glorify him. That's interesting. I was looking at my sermon notes, and there's a water bill attached to it. So he's given me a gift of being able to pay my bills. But anyway, thank you all for your gifts and for you as a congregation for singing out and joining. You know, I was sitting here thinking to myself today, no canned music at all. Nothing recorded. It was all using the gifts that God has given to us. What a blessing that we as a small church, you know, we are a small church. Of course, in the world view, we're what would be called a medium-sized church. But you know, in light of when you figure you can drive for 30 minutes from Lake Forest over to Costa Mesa, to Van Nuys, to churches that are running in the tens of thousands, you know, we're blessed in this country with the gospel. We're blessed in Southern California with the gospel, and it's really out there. But we are blessed as this group that we can gather together on Sundays and weekdays and any time we need to. And God has blessed us with a wonderful facility and a nice warm building, and he helps us get over all of the aches and pains. You know, there's a lot of people that are not here today because they're sick, and some that probably could have stayed home today because they're sick. But, you know, it's fellowshipping with God's brothers and with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, with God's people. And that's not my sermon today. We had a lot of music today, so the sermon's going to be very brief. No amens? Boy, oh boy. Yes, it'll be a sermon in a second. No, a little bit more than that. But I do want to mention, too, that being that today is Sunday, but it's also Christmas Eve. And this is my, Dorian, my eighth Christmas here at Springdale. And yeah, we're happy about it, along with about six of you. But no, just kidding. Thank you, because every year that we have been here, we have had a Christmas Eve candlelight service. I really, really enjoy doing that as a congregation, and I know some of you have family plans on Christmas Eve, and there's no expectations or requirements, but we do have it here as a blessing. If you can be here, I encourage you. It's just a wonderful gateway to go into Christmas Day. You know, it'll be dark outside. It's going to be nice and chilly. We'll have a candle lighting, but we're doing something a little different this year. This is the first time that we've had Christmas Eve on a Sunday in the time that Dory and I have been here. And so we're going to have, we're going to join, do it mutually with Iglesia Cristiana Comunidad de Westminster. Yeah, you didn't think I was going to be speaking in tongues up here, did you? That's the Hispanic ministry that meets here on Sunday afternoons. They are a sister church of ours. They are a Southern Baptist church like us. And so because they normally have an evening service on Sundays and we're usurping their normal protocol because when we have something, it supersedes everything else. It's a nice thing about being the mother church. But I did invite them to participate with us. So we're going to have some bilingual stuff going on tonight. We're going to light the candles in both English and Spanish. But it's going to be great. It's going to be a great time together. We've planned it. We're usually here for about an hour, so it's not extra lengthy. You'll still have plenty of time. And it's at 5 o'clock, so it's early enough that you can have family time as well. But if you're able to be here, I encourage you. It's going to be a great time that we have together in fellowship on Christmas Eve. And then tomorrow being Christmas Day, we don't have anything here. Next Sunday, I did want to mention that we're going to have communion next Sunday. Normally, we have it on the third Sunday in the month, but this month I chose to do it on New Year's Eve to kind of commemorate the outgoing of 2018. How many people are 2017, incoming of 2018? How many of you are glad to see us coming to the conclusion of 2017? Some of us have had a really rough year this year. There's been some really difficult circumstances. Even in our church, we've lost some folks. We've had some difficult circumstances. We've seen some major tragedies around us. But isn't it good to know that we've got comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within us? And no matter what the world can throw at us, we can be resilient. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yeah, we can do it all. There's nothing that the devil can throw at us that we can't endure. And I know sometimes it feels pretty close, right? You know, I most of you know that I've been a police chaplain for many years, and I'm trained in crisis intervention and counseling and things like that. And one of the things that we're called on to do on occasion is to try to deal with people who are feeling suicidal. And one of the things that you try to impress on someone who's thinking about taking their own life is, hasn't there been another time in your life when you thought it was all coming to an end, when you thought the world was going to crash down around you? And it's not just suicidal people, it's all of us. There's no one in this auditorium, I would venture to say this morning, that there has not been at least one time in your life where you thought, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to live to see tomorrow? How am I going to overcome these circumstances that are crashing down around me? And guess what? It's December 24th, 2018, and you made it. 2017. I know. And I haven't even written out any checks yet. But you know what I'm saying. We made it. Yeah, we made it, didn't we? We got through. We're here. And we're all healthy. We're all still breathing, right? We've all still got some stuff. Maybe we don't have as much as we used to have, but God has taken care of us and he continues to take care of us. God will never let us down. You know, it's the old poster you've seen of the footprints in the sand. You know, the two sets going into one set and back into two sets. And the guy said, God, why did you leave me by myself during those times? And he said, no, those were my footprints. Those are the times I had to carry you. I'll tell you, folks, don't ever consider it an insult when somebody says you need a crutch in your Christianity. Aren't you glad we got crutches? I'll tell you, I've never been so thankful to be a spiritual cripple as I am, you know, knowing that I've got Jesus to lean on at any given time. Luke chapter 2, I want to read from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, probably the most common Christmas story that we share. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered or taxed. 2,000 years ago, guess what was going on? There were two things in life that were for sure, even in Jesus' day, right? Death and taxes. And that's what was going on. The Roman government was calling everybody in because they wanted to make sure they were getting their fair share. So they were all called in from the whole empire to be registered. And this first registration or taxation took place when Quirinius was governing in Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. So that's one thing we don't have to get stuck with today. We don't have to go to our place of birth for a census. We are able to fill out the little mail order census and take care of it that way. In Jesus' day, there was a requirement that each person go to their own town. Now, just as a little side note here, do you know that over 800 years before Jesus was born, there was a prophecy in the Old Testament that said the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, right? The city of David. Now, it just so happened by some stroke of coincidence that Mary, who 9 months earlier had a meeting with an angel who told her, "You're the one. You're the virgin that Isaiah prophesied 600 years ago, who's going to be the one who's blessed among all women to bring forth the Savior of mankind." And by some stroke of coincidence, this man, the Roman government said, okay, we want everybody to go to their hometown. And by an even greater stroke of coincidence, the man that Mary was espoused to, her fiancé, just happened to be from the city of David. Can you imagine? You see how everything just, God works everything out. If he could work this out, you think he can't work out the circumstances that we face on a daily basis? We can have faith in God. We can know that God is trustworthy. We can know that God is going to bring all things to fruition because he told us in his word what he's going to do. So, back to the scripture here. He said my Bible flipped a page on me here. There we go. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, Nazareth and Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David. So to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Gee, another stroke of fortune there. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloths and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them at the lodging place. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord," so there's the identification right there, "was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all those things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful record of the birth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had been prophesied way back in the book of Genesis, Father, you promised that you were going to send a deliverer for mankind. Throughout the Bible, Father, we see Jesus spoken of. We see the Messiah referred to. We even see him bodily in circumstances, Father, with Daniel and with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so many other times, Father, his presence here with mankind, with your people. And he is present here with us today. Father, thank you so much for the promise in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are here in the midst with us. And Father, we know that we don't even have to have two or three. We know that even when we're alone, when we're by ourselves, you never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for the comfort and the knowledge we have of your presence and of your love and your goodness and your provision to this lost world. Father, I pray that as we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ, whenever it may have been, we ask you, Father, to help us be bold in proclaiming the truth of the gospel and shouting from the rooftops and glorifying you and praising you just as these shepherds did. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Dory, on our way to church on Sunday mornings, she reads a little devotional, and I don't remember which one it was you read this morning, but it made mention of the fact that the shepherds were the first ones to see Jesus, besides Mary and Joseph and whoever else may have been there to assist with the birth and the animals. But shepherds were the first ones who had the announcement of the coming of the Messiah. And you know, shepherds in Jewish culture were unclean. Does that tell you something about the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ? The Bible says that Jesus didn't come into the world for the righteous, but he came to save sinners, right? That's what the Apostle Paul said, that Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, am chief. You know, I have people say to me sometimes, oh, I'm just too horrible of a person. God couldn't love me. I've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, I'm sorry, you don't have that luxury of proclaiming yourself to be too great of a sinner, because Paul took that upon himself. He said, there is no greater sinner than me. Now, I'm sure there's some of us that have probably run a close second, but no one, we can never sin enough. We can never, what's the saying? We can't out-sin God's grace. Amen. We just can't do it. There's no sin that is able to be committed that is too large for Jesus to forgive, save one, and that's rejecting him. I believe that's what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that he was speaking about was to reject Jesus Christ. He had just been accused of casting out devils by the power of Satan. And that's when he brought this up, the fact that there's only one sin you can commit. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that to be this same issue of rejecting God's offer of salvation, God's gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. To miss out on that wonderful Passover that God is going to, when judgment falls, and it falls on this lost world, and it falls on all the sin, and all the sinful, and Satan and his angels, to be delivered from that. That's love. That's real love. That's the love of God. That's the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, for the last four Sundays, including today, I've dedicated our topic to what I've called Advent. Now, if you come from a liturgical church background, like I did, Advent was something we celebrated. It was part of our Ordo, what they call the Ordo calendar, the church ordinance calendar. There are four Sundays prior to Christmas that are known as Advent, and that means it is the expectation of the birth of Jesus Christ. And scripturally, it comes from that announcement that the angel made to Mary, that she was going to be the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, giving birth to this Savior in Bethlehem. Now, technically, Advent would begin 9 months before Christmas, right? because she carried a child for full term. But church-wise, we usually make it for three or four Sundays, which is what we did. So I was using that term Advent, and I was kind of interested because church-wise, Advent is a celebration of the anticipation of the birth of Jesus Christ. But the word Advent has a secular meaning. It means something that comes into being, something that is anticipated that comes to fruition. And we know that Jesus' birth came to fruition. It did happen. We're looking at it from this side of the cross. We're looking at it from this side of the event, whereas the prophets were foretelling it. And so it has come into being. The coming of the Messiah has occurred. According to the actual definition of the word, Advent, it does not just describe the time before Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, but you know what? We're living in Advent today. And I'll explain that as we go. I want to read from the book of Titus, because this kind of fills out the messages of Advent that I have done for the last 3 weeks. We talked about the hope that God has given to mankind. We talked about the joy that God provides to mankind through Jesus. And last week we talked about the love of God expressed through the coming of his son, through the giving of the Messiah. I had a birthday last Sunday, remember, so I'm like, I'm a year older, yeah, and it's already 2018, I've said several times, so anyway. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is a book that the Apostle Paul wrote, or a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote by the power of the Holy Spirit. To a man named Titus, known as one of the pastoral epistles, just like the two letters to Timothy. Those were written humanly by the Apostle Paul to pastors. And this book of Titus was written with the intent of assisting this pastor in the appropriate selection of leadership in the church where he was, in Crete. He said in chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, "For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age." Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute. What Paul has said is the Messiah has come. We are living in an age where we are to dedicate ourselves to the fruition of all the prophecies because Jesus Christ has come, the one and only Messiah. See, the world would try to tell us that there are many messiahs, right? The world would try to tell us, oh, it doesn't really matter what your religion is, as long as you acknowledge the man upstairs. I hate that phrase. Just a little word of warning to you. When you're talking to me about God, don't call him the man upstairs. Maybe he is, but bottom line is, he is God. He is Jehovah. He is to be revered. He is to be honored. He is to be held in awe and fear. And I don't mean being afraid. I'm talking about the respect. You know, calling God the man upstairs is kind of like calling your wife your old lady, right? I never cared much for that either. Yeah, Dory doesn't like it either. I never did. But anyway, we're living in a day and an age and in a world where everybody wants to make nice and say, well, it doesn't matter what you call him. You can call him anything you want, or it. Call it anything you want, or her anything you want. You know, I hear all of this stuff. It doesn't matter how you address it. It's all the same. We're all good. We're all brothers and sisters under the sun. Well, I'm sorry. We don't have the ability nor the authorization to make the rules about godliness. God makes the rules. God is the one. God is the one who sent his only begotten son. The song that Dory and I sang this morning was talking about, basically talking about the Magi, talking about the kings who were willing to relinquish their thrones, to leave their place of honor, to give it all up. How many people have done that in the world today? One Heavenly Father who gave his only begotten son. There is only one substitute for us, one who suffered death as a substitute for us because of our sins. Not because of anything he did wrong, but because of our sins, Jesus gave his life. And Paul says, we're living in a day and age where this is what we're living by. This is what we need to focus on. This is where we dedicate our lives to the work that was done on the cross of Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he goes on to say, while we're doing all of this, why? Because while we wait for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, folks, this is a sojourn. He came, he gave his life, he forgave us of our sins, he's removed our sins, we stand righteous before him, but we're doing it today, we're here today to share that message with other people. Why? Because he's going to come back. We are living in Advent today, folks. Advent, there was an Advent from Genesis chapter 3 until the day that Jesus gave his life for our sins. But it's just as there's just as much of an anticipation today as there was then. See, we think about, well, Jesus came, it's all done, God's plan of salvation is complete. No, folks, it's coming. The judgment is coming. The reward is coming. We can be just as excited in anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as Isaiah and Malachi and Daniel and all the other prophets were regarding his first coming. See, a lot of people back then were putting the cart before the horse. They were expecting the second coming to come first, right? Oh, he's going to bring judgment on the world. He's going to make Rome our footstool. We're going to be the bosses now. The day's coming. And we have that to look forward to. And that's what Paul is telling Titus here. He says, we're just living in a day and age where we have this blessing of eternal life and the knowledge of what is to come. The real coming of the Messiah. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Say these things and encourage and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Folks, it's coming. That's the commission that we have today. Proclaim it. Let people know. Yes, Jesus came to earth, but man, we're waiting for the real deal. He's going to come and he's going to establish his kingdom. The day is coming that they were expecting back in Jesus' day. I mean, he came exactly the opposite of what people were expecting or hoping for. They wanted a king to come. They wanted this one to come down and wipe out and annihilate all of the oppression in the world and the poverty in the world and the unfairness that was happening. And what happens? This baby is born in a stable and laid in a feeding trough. And the first ones to lay eyes on him, besides Mary and Joseph and whoever else was there, you know, to assist, shepherds, unclean people. It all fits together because Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul talks about the two appearances of Jesus Christ. The first one was God's grace that was and is given to mankind through the birth of Jesus Christ. And I know that redemption comes, you know, is sealed by his resurrection. You know, when we celebrate Easter, that's the real devout Christian holiday or Christian observance. And yet, he couldn't have given his life if he hadn't been born. I love Christmas, and I love the fact that Jesus humbled himself, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. God gave us grace. He expressed his grace to mankind through the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He brought salvation to mankind as well as the gift of the Holy Spirit, who makes us to be his disciples. That was the first appearance of Jesus. The second is found in this passage that he's delivering to Titus, where he describes him as our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. People think, you know, oh, Jesus, he never claimed to be God. That's the biggest lie that Satan ever tried to express to mankind. Jesus announced who he was on multiple occasions. You can't read the Gospel of John and not see that Jesus made it very clear who he was. God incarnate in the flesh of mankind. Paul affirms it right here. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, we're living in a day of Advent right now. What does the word Advent mean? Coming into being. Jesus came. Jesus was here. He was seen by thousands. He was touched by many. And he touched many. But you know what? He's coming back. And just as the prophets and the Jews looked forward to the coming of this Messiah, we, as his children, look forward to his return. That's the blessed hope that the Bible, that Paul is talking about here. He's not only our Savior, but also our great God. Just like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Micah, Nahum, Malachi, all the prophets were living in a day, an age of anticipation, waiting for the coming of the Messiah, we still are. We still are. We're waiting for his appearance. The first Advent ended with the birth of Jesus. The second Advent began at his ascension to his heavenly throne. And we wait. We wait of his coming. And I believe it's going to be soon. So as we wait, what do? Do we prop our feet up and say, come on, come on down, right? No, we've got a job to do. We have a task to perform. I mentioned earlier the Holy Spirit makes us to be disciples. Do you know the word disciple comes from the root of the word disciple? Same thing as discipline. Ouch. I like to be called a disciple, but you're telling me I have to be disciplined about it? It's part of what it takes to serve the Lord. Discipline. And what are we disciplined to do? We are disciplined to live in this day of Advent of the second coming of Jesus Christ, to let people know that it's all going to come to an end. And that day is coming, and what a day that's going to be. You think his first coming was significant? Wait till he comes the second time. Unfortunately, it's going to be a day of mourning and a day of sorrow for some, for those who have rejected him, for those to whom those who have no hope of eternal life, not because God didn't choose them, but because they made the choice for themselves. See, God confronts each one of us with a choice. We can accept his plan of salvation by accepting the gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It can't be a gift unless you receive it. You know, tomorrow or tonight, depending on your home traditions, you'll be opening presents more than likely. Well, you know, if someone gives you a gift and it's in nice wrapping paper and everything else, is it a gift without you receiving it, without you accepting it? You know, when that Amazon box came, did you just tell the driver, no, I don't want that, take it back? No, we get excited when someone sends us a gift. Usually we get excited, as long as we've sent them one as well, right? Because if we get a gift from somebody that we didn't already reciprocate to, man, oh man, now I got to go shopping on Christmas Eve, right? No, but it's something that has to be received. Eternal life is not something God forces on mankind. God offers it to mankind. But to receive it, we need to be willing to accept it. That's our decision. And unfortunately, when Jesus comes again, there's going to be some. The Bible says every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. Some of them are going to be doing it in sorrow. Some are going to be doing it out of guilt. They're going to know that they blew it. So it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we do all we can to share the joy of the hope of eternal life, because we're living in a day of Advent today. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the blessing it is to wait on you, to wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ, to wait for the day. Father, just as the prophets anticipated his first coming, we anticipate today his second coming. And what a glorious day that will be. But Father, I pray that we would not be remorseful, that we would not have sadness in our hearts in knowing that maybe someone refused their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because we didn't share with them. Father, I pray that you would help us to seize every opportunity that you place before us in telling others the good news, the blessed hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that your will is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And we thank you for the privilege we have of being your vessels. Father, there may be one here today that doesn't have a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. I pray that this would be a real Christmas for them, that they would find the Lord Jesus Christ born into their lives today by receiving a personal relationship with him, by receiving forgiveness of sins, that they can walk out of this building with the knowledge of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Father, there may be one here today that's been reluctant to be baptized or to join the fellowship of this church or to commit their life to you. Father, you may be calling someone here today to the mission field or to ministry. Father, whatever it is that we've been digging in our heels in, I pray that you would break down those barriers today and help us to just fully surrender to the will of your Holy Spirit, to allow ourselves to be real disciples. Speak to our hearts today as we spend this time in invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have some visitors with us today, and we're really thankful.